Ephesians chapter 5:25-33. Today we consider the responsibility of the husband. Thank God that we can study his word in a systematic way, without any hindrance, in the quiet of the sanctuary, that we may take time to learn his word. Ephesians chapter 5:25-33. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Just one thought today. Husbands, love your wives. The command to husbands is really more important than the command to wives. Both are important, but I believe this one is more important. In this command, there is no looking around as to how the others in the church are loving their wives. But this standard for the husband is set by God himself, and he would want us to practice it in order that our homes may be harmonious, our homes may be beautiful in the sight of God. So important. And the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. This is the injunction that is given there. So the thought for us in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love is the priority for husbands. Authority is not the priority. Following Paul's instructions to the wives, it states here that the husband is the head of the wife. And you would expect, right, as you read this text, the next phrasing, right, that husbands are to exercise headship over your wives diligently, as Christ is the head of the church. And if you ask the Christian husband, what is your main responsibility toward your wife? You would often hear him saying, to be the head of my home. While this is a serious responsibility that the husband is given the headship of the home, but that was not what Paul was addressing when he addresses husbands. Rather, he's saying this, and it is a literal translation. Husbands, be continually loving your wives. Husbands, be continually loving your wives. And that is, you said, is it a difficult thing to do? Well, not for the born-again Christian who is seeking to walk with God. You would have that ability in your heart to love. And that is so important, that we cultivate such kindred love in the home. That's the beginning of grace in the for the church, for the society as a whole. Love begins in the home, and it begins with the most important relationship between the husband and the wife. And the husband is commanded here to be responsible to set an atmosphere of love in the home. That's so important. This is a command, and we say it is in a present tense, active voice. It is to be done continually, habitually. And so that takes some level of cultivating. That the husband may be able to have that spiritual strength. And we said that biblical love is not man-made. Biblical love is given by God through His Holy Spirit as a fruit of the Spirit in the lives of the believer. When we are willing to put away sin and we are willing to love, willing to ask God to give us that love. And this love is, as it were, injected into our bloodstream. Paul said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's as if it is injected. So it's supernaturally endowed upon us, this love that God gives to us, so that we may be able to love our spouses. And for the husband, material provision is not the priority. Sometimes, husbands have that mistaken notion that as long as, you know, there is enough money in the bank, as long as there is enough material resources in the home, and he has fulfilled his responsibility towards his wife. But here, it is not so straightforward. As Paul was trying to explain to us, many husbands think that their main responsibility is to provide an increasingly comfortable lifestyle for their wives and children. Well, it's not wrong to provide for them, that they may be comfortable, they may be living in a safe, protected environment for their nurturing. That's important. And it is part of the husband's love for the family, that he brings these considerations as the home is being set up. In fact, they would say that the long hours, sometimes a husband will say, the long hours that I work is an expression of my love for my family. So I'm not at home, but I love my family. So for the wife, you know, we had a conversation with the wife, and the wife said, he is always not at home. Of course, he's gone now. He's always helping somebody. He's always in his workplace, doing his work, sometimes to the late nights, and I don't see him. And I try to pass my time through the day. You know, I would have several good girlfriends whom I can be with. And here, as you think about this relationship between the husband and the wife, we are speaking about a relationship. We are speaking about communication. Communicating that love. So the truth is that many men find it easier to give their wives and children things than to spend time with them and to share their hearts with them in deep, loving relationships. And that's something that you find that needs to be cultivated in the homes, that God would want for the families. And of course, the Bible says very bluntly that if a man does not provide financially for his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It is true, right, that he is to take this responsibility. Strong words, said we are not to disregard it. But more than that, we are saying that the main responsibility of the husband is to love her. And this is the man's priority. Today, we have all kinds, or we see, right, in society, all kinds of sins against the wife, right, committed by the husband, of unfaithfulness, of relationships that causes the family to become estranged. But the husband's love is compromised, and that's something that is very sad, right? And we often hear, right, those who share with us their testimonies of what they are facing in the home, how difficult it is. And that's why, you know, the Lord tells us that we must come back to His Word. We must come back to understand what He would want us to do. And yesterday we were speaking to a group of youths concerning the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And we said to them that the seventh commandment is a commandment that is given in order to protect the marriage. The marriage institution, the marriage covenant is given by God. And if there is unfaithfulness in that relationship, then there is a broken covenant. And the Lord gives that seventh commandment in order to protect that husband-wife relationship, that it may be pure, it may be kept pure, it may be kept strong, that love continue to prevail. And you see, when men fell, right, from the book of Genesis, that's where a problem in the home began. In Genesis chapter 4, you see the beginning of polygamy, right? Many wives. Then you see in chapter 9, pornography is born. In chapter 16, adultery. In chapter 19, homosexuality. And chapter 34, fornication and unequal marriages. And chapter 38, incest. Chapter 38 again, prostitution. Chapter 39, first specific case of seduction. You see all this as a result of the fallen nature that caused the home to be broken, the covenant between the husband and wife to be broken. But the Lord's will for the family is that the family, the husband and wife born, be strong. And we need to cultivate a right environment in order that love may prevail. And it begins in the family. Here we say, God says that this marital love is a love that is characterized by a commitment to one another. Oftentimes we said that, you know, between wives, the romance is over. Huh? When the romance is over, then that's the beginning of a commitment to a covenant between two persons. And, you know, if you think about it, how do you truly build upon a relationship, build a relationship between two persons? Well, this is the closest of relationships in the world that you can ever find, the husband-wife relationship. And God had meant this to be the model of all relationships. Because from there comes children. And then begins posterity after children, grandchildren. And it all began with that relationship between the husband and the wife. And we said that it's so important, right, that marriages must not be built based on romantic feelings, but on a sound, enduring love for the spouse. And that is something that the Lord wants us to understand. Oftentimes, you know, when we've, and the marriage relationship is one in which, you know, when you get into it, it is by a covenant. And it's difficult to, you said, break and escape. It is the one that you can't, because it would bring with it the most devastating consequences. You have friends that you don't want to talk to. You said, I walk out. Colleagues, okay, walk out. But here, in a marriage relationship, there is grave consequences to walking out. And so, husband and wives, those who are thinking of getting married, I think we need to come to terms to understand what is God's blueprint for a successful marriage. What is God's blueprint for a marriage that would, you know, last till death do us part. Wow. That is commitment. One toward another. And through the years in the relationship, it ought to be sweeter, you know, because you have gone through difficulties, right, together. You have gone through, you know, we said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Oh, that's life. And to be able to go through that kind of a relationship, you find that, you know, the Lord, the apostle tells us, Apostle Paul tells us, that only biblical love is able to bind that marriage strong. And therefore, we need to cultivate that environment in our hearts, in our lives. And oftentimes, you see, in our modern world, we are always, oftentimes, pulled by other priorities. For the men, sometimes it is the career. Sometimes it's studies. Sometimes it is this or that, you know. And the time is taken up where, you know, you find the energy is channeled away from its center. Right, that focus, you know, when a man and a woman move, enter into a marriage covenant, is that their activities, their priorities are to be focused one upon another. That's why you see, when in Israel, when a man marries a wife, and they are, when they go to war, the man who just married is supposed to stay behind, you know, not to go to war, but take time to cherish your wife. So you see, today in modern society, it's not like that. You see that courtship process that, you know, that leads up to the wedding day, that wedding vow, and after that, you know, you go about living your own life. It's as if you have, you know, accomplished a milestone in your life. Now you've got a wife, you've got a husband, you know. And then you go on with life. But the Apostle Paul is saying here that it must not be, it should not be. Right? There must be that priority that God would want us to have. Right? So here, is taught to us that the husband, the man, must love their wives to such an extent that you would be gladly willing to die for them. That's Christ's love, in their place if necessary. And this is what the Lord is saying to us: as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This is how the Lord showed to us that relationship ought to be. And therefore, you know, it is a place in which we cultivate a strong bond that leads to a secure family. Children are secure because they see father and mother loving one another, father and mother serving one another, father and mother, and it provides to them a model in which they are able to find stability in their souls. So verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We heard earlier how Christ was sent to the cross. He was crucified. And someone is hanging on the cross, you know, you're hang mid-air and you suffocate. No air, you know. A great suffering. That kind of a love that one has for another, right? The Lord depicted it for us so that we may understand the extent of that commitment. Right? The Lord wants us to see a commitment. Now, that's a word that is often not understood, right? In a marriage relationship. I'm happy, okay. It pleases me, good. But if it doesn't please me, let's break it. You know, there's no sense of a commitment, right? Commitment to a relationship, commitment to a cause, commitment, you know, to one another. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is the purpose for Christ's death. That's why the Lord Jesus died for the believers. He separated the church of believers unto himself so that he might sanctify and cleanse it. You see, that's the reason why we are gathered, you know, in this little room here, in order that we may study and understand the teaching of his word. It is the word of God that purifies our life. It makes us think concerning life and what we are doing with our lives. And that's why we encourage and we always uh, ask that not only do you attend just a worship service, you know, on a Sunday and that's it, but rather be involved in the systematic study of God's Word in a class like this, where you are, where we are sanctified and cleansed through the Word of God that is taught to us. That is how, that is God's way, God's method. And verse 27 says that he might present to himself a glorious church, having not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So as you study the Word of God, is the Word of God is going to act upon your soul through the Spirit of God that is in you. So I might be speaking like that, right? As the Lord would lead me through prayer. But how you would receive it, right? Each one would receive it in a different way, depending on the needs of the soul, depending on the person's circumstances and situation. The Holy Spirit will use it to minister life and light in the soul of the individual. How can we receive it? Well, we pray in our hearts. Do you come to class prepared, with a prepared heart, that you would pray and would ask God to help you to learn something out of His Word, that you may become a better Christian? Yeah, that must be our goal. That must be our aim. Right? That must be our purpose. Right? So that verse 27 said that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything, any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So the Lord is making us, and we said, when I was giving the statistics to the youth concerning broken marriages in the United States 40 years ago, it's already attrition rate half, 50%. And I checked in Europe, it's 70 to 80% attrition rate. Somehow the marriage covenant is not honored. When men make a vow, take a vow, they take it lightly. The marriage vow is taken lightly. You know, the vow to become a member of the church is taken lightly. Why like that? How is it that man has, you know, progressed to such a state where they cannot persevere? But the Lord wants us to persevere. No easy thing in a relationship. Between husband, between wives, that's the closest and the toughest of relationship, right? Because you cannot get out, in a sense, once you are sealed by the covenant of oath. You have to depend on God's grace to work it. And we, you know, and it is a glorious opportunity whereby we learn to see the grace of God coming into our lives, to give to us that love, to do something good for our spouse. Something that would encourage them, something that would strengthen them in the faith. So ought men, verse 28 says, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So the Lord here set the standard that believing husbands are to love their wives as they love their own bodies. So you don't purposely harm your own body. Some men abuse their own body with alcohol, with drugs. with smoking, with unhealthy eating habits. But generally, we said we are to take care of our own bodies. And, you know, if we are cold, we put on some warm clothing. If we are warm, we turn on the aircon. Man in his own right mind would not hurt his own body. Then why hurt our wives? She's part of us. God has made the two to become one flesh. And this one flesh is not only in the physical sense, but a sexual relationship between the husband and wife, spiritual and physical. It's the closest relationship that a man can have with another person in the marriage. And the Lord wants us to understand and cherish that kind of a relationship. For no man ever, verse 29 says, yet hateth his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So to nourish means to refers to physical, spiritual, right? In every way, to nourish up to maturity. That is what the Lord Jesus is doing for our lives. That is what the husband is to do, right? To keep your wife warm spiritually. How to do so? Praying together. Reading the Word of God together. Growing together. Worshipping together. Studying the Word of God together. And the scripture says that the wife is a weaker vessel. 1 Peter 3:7. And the husband is commanded. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The Lord says that, you know, you are to love the wife and care for her as something fragile, you know, something that needs proper care, right? When you transport fragile things, you have to properly mark it, right? And sometimes, you know, we have to properly pack it, in order that, you know, it will be able to withstand the rigors of the journey. So here is described the wife as a weaker vessel. There is care needed to keep that relationship strong. So there was a testimony that was given about this story of an elderly minister who had been married for 50 years. One morning at breakfast, his wife slumped over the table, was unconscious, and by the time her husband got her to the hospital, she was dead. After the funeral, he said to his sons, "This is a good day, a wonderful day." When they asked what he meant, he explained, "Well, I know she is with the Lord now, and I'm glad she went first. That's the way I wanted it to be, because I didn't want her to have the grief of burying me and of having to live alone." Some years later, that minister was asked to speak at a meeting on the subject of marriage, and he recounted his wife's death and his gratitude that she had died first. And he told them, "Listen, anybody who knows the meaning of true love always wants the other person to go first, because they don't want them to endure the pain and the sorrow and the anxiety and the loneliness of burying the one they have loved. I dare say that the modern romantic relationships that try to pass for love are a far cry from that kind of feeling of and that kind of reality. And the command given is that she's right. He's right. And so you see here in that relationship, Christians, we said we have been bought by Christ. He has freed us from the bondage of sin. But we also said that the flesh is still with us. And we have to learn how to learn self-giving, learn self-committing and self-sacrificing. All this, God showed us through the scriptures. And oftentimes we struggle and we said, it's tough. But the Lord wants us to make progress. Make progress. And make a little progress, that's good. Do something good for your wife, that's good. And it's observed, a relationship that is built only on pleasant emotions and good feelings will soon die, because those emotions and feelings are built on circumstances and superficial and selfish expectations. But as you go through life, you find that, you know, the knocks of life will come, the afflictions, the trials of life will come, and that's where we are tested. That's where we are faced with the reality. What to do? That's where we are faced with the challenge to a loving commitment, to self-giving concern. For our spouses. And so here Paul is advocating that there is that happy and enduring marriage that is built upon biblical love, and that is a kind of a commitment that a husband makes. And you find that, you know, it's quite rare out there. But it is here, with the help of the Word of God, that we begin to form our mind to understand what is good for us. And then we take steps to implement and do. Okay. So here, the Lord is saying to us, the husband's love for the wife involves an unconditional commitment to a life together. And how does it work out? Well, I believe that as the individual take time to cultivate their own spiritual life, they would be able, by the grace of God, to cherish the commitment of the marriage covenant. As you take time, you know, to be biblically minded, you take time to do your devotions, take time to pray. Sometimes you say, it's so difficult
I like it this way, but she like it that way. I like this color, and she says no, that color. I like it to be placed here, and she says there. Imagine in a house, 1,000 square feet, 1,200 square feet. Sometimes you feel yourself enclosed, you know. You feel yourself choked, suffocated. If you're not actively praying and asking God to give you His grace to exhibit love. And so for the young, for those who are planning to go into to marriage, it's important that we take time out like that to think about what the marriage relationship entails, what we are going into, and what kind of commitment is required of us from the Lord, so that we don't go into it blindly, so that we don't go into it unprepared, but we go with understanding what God would want us to do. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. This is the biblical pattern, the blueprint for successful marriages. May the Lord bless the marriages that He brings together, so that they would be indeed testimonies to His grace in the lives of His people. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for the injunction, how husbands is to love his wife. Lord, we thank Thee for showing to us what a successful biblical marriage looks like. And Lord, we pray that Thou be very gracious to work a work of grace, to grant the wisdom of Thy love, to bless the relationship between husbands and wives, that indeed it may be cultivated with an unconditional, sacrificial love. Lord, help husbands in our midst to love their wives, to be committed to the well-being of their wives, for the soul nourishment of their wife. Lord, I pray that Thou would bless the families for Thy own namesake, for Thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.